we don't want to just isolate ourselves with this mix of Indigenous peoples and leaders that are coming to you. You've probably heard many stories from many different Indigenous peoples, and not all of us are the same. The Wet'suwet'en will be different than the peoples here, the Nuchanoth, the Coast Salish, you know, the Kwakwaka'wakw. They would all be very, very different from us. Their cultures, their laws might be similar. Drumming, singing, dancing, storytelling, hunting, gathering, warring. Well, that's all synonymous, yes, but how we do those things is very, very different. And our lands are very different and diverse. So the struggle, though, is very similar. Colonization, eroding of cultures. And so how does that fit with anarchy? And why do I say I'm an anarchist? I'm an anarchist because I even believe even some of our hierarchical structure is also very, very impacted. Residential schools, band office systems, foster care systems, all of these things impacted even our own leaders. Our own traditional leaders are impacted in terms of how they deliver their knowledge. Our residential school survivors were taught how to steal, how to harm, how to abuse in order to survive. In order to live through that day when you're going to be allowed to walk out that door. They were violated, sexually abused, physically abused. They were taught a hierarchical structure very effectively. So the people that came out of there on top stayed on top. They became the leaders in our communities. That was who showed us how to run band offices, how to run treaty societies, how to run tribal councils. So now our younger generations are like, what? That's not right. That's not how you treat women. That's not how you treat land. That's not how you treat biodiversity. Our younger generations are knowing better. So we're getting there. But decolonization hurts. Decolonization takes a lot of letting go. It takes a lot of transcending rights. Because that's what the topic of today is transcending rights. Rights is limiting, isn't it? You have a right to food. It might be crappy food, but you have a right to it. You have a right to housing. You have a right to safety. It's pretty crappy safety they're delivering. Traditional societies, we take responsibilities. You're very correct. Responsibilities is where it's at. In our language, our word for law is the same word we have for responsibility. The way we say that is enak nuh eten. And how I see that with anarchy, and what I've studied about anarchy, is anarchy wishes for social order, but not at everybody else's expense. Not at anyone else's expense. Nobody else should feel degraded because you're comfortable. Everybody's equal, organized horizontal. Traditional societies are no different. Yes, this is a traditional hierarchical system. There is a chief, there is women chiefs, and there is children of chiefs. I'm born into nobility myself. My mother is a chief, my father is a chief. And but that does not mean that I can't be an anarchist. It means that I'm looking at that traditional hierarchical system that is also sick. My father is on the decolonization path himself. And I'm not going to tell myself that I'm decolonized. I've freed my mind. I've kept a free mind. I'm still impacted. I am not decolonized. Now, why I say that is because settler society also must get a sense of what decolonization is. And you're on that path as anarchists. You've taken that step to decolonize. Now, how does that mean? How does that relate to Indigenous societies? Traditional societies, you ask permission to be on the land. In our territory, in our camp, everybody went through a protocol. But it wasn't police standing at the bridge telling you, you have to ask us for a right to be here. We didn't say that. We stood there very, very openly and welcoming, but stern. Not cold, not really, really warm, but just, I'm not going to get erased. I'm not going to get bulldozed. I'm not going to get railroaded. But at the same time, I'm thankful you're here. This is the protocol we're going to go through first before you enter the territory. Not just to say you need permission first, which was actually part of it. You're asking the chief's permission to be on the territory. But what you were asking was not just to be there, like rights, but how can we share responsibility to be in the land? Sharing responsibilities, sharing the law, self-regulation. To me, that totally relates to anarchy. So when we conducted this protocol, we called it the Free, Prior, and Informed Consent Protocol. But we weren't mirroring something from the United Nations. We weren't mirroring something from a hierarchical structure, from that racist background of the papal bulls. It was basically the papal bulls that said we could have rights. Indigenous rights, it doesn't exist. Indigenous responsibilities exists. Anarchists' responsibilities exist. How do we communicate those? It might feel out of place for you to ask somebody permission to exist somewhere. But what you're doing is you're saying, can I bring my knowledge with yours together and share in the responsibilities in your lands? Because the people here have thousands of years of observation of how to exist with the land and with the biodiversity. Have a relationship with the water. We don't own the water. We can't put our name on it. We understand its name from feeling its spirit. We understand its names from maybe somebody's experience there. But we don't own the rivers. We don't own the salmon. We don't even own the land. We own our responsibilities and our relationship to the land. We own our responsibilities to the waters and the biodiversity that we're all a part of. So that's how I relate anarchy and indigenous societies. We transcend rights, each of us do. So if you're denying colonial construct, along with us as grassroots people, you might find a way to even deny band offices, tribal councils, and treaty centers. Because those are all, again, arms of the colonial construct that does not exist. We're all part of this world. History has brought us all together. That history hurt us all. That history had hurt each and every one of you at some point in time. If not you personally today, your ancestors, the people before you, have experienced pain that we feel. Felt shame of being tribal and close to the earth. You felt that pain maybe from your parents who had a lot of questions themselves and no answers. And for us, those answers are also still coming. Fortunately, yes, it's coming through oral history, oral society, drumming and singing, storytelling, and being shown from our elders how to live with our world. So it's a very special relationship. And there's a lot of potential in meeting anarchist communities with traditional societies. And I understand a lot of anarchist communities are across the board, across Turtle Island, north and south, all countries. And I'm really appreciative of that. Because what's in the media? The United Nations, states, power, control mechanisms, war machine, gluttony, capitalism, that's creating so many mental slaves at such a high rate. And for those of us that are working at freeing our minds and working at freeing other people's minds, you know, it's a huge, huge effort. And I'm really appreciative to have met many, many good anarchist communities in the last while. I've met some in Toronto, Montreal, now Victoria, Vancouver. I actually would love to give a huge shout out to a few of them. You know, BC Blackout, No One Is Illegal, Now You Yourselves, Victoria Anarchist Book Fair. Thank you for welcoming me and being a part of this day with us. I'd like to also make this a bit more interactive. I don't want to take the whole time here speaking. before I start, Can we go through a visualization? Would you mind? Would you appreciate a visualization? Okay. Before we start, if we can all stand up. This is a stuffy room, so let's take care of ourselves first. Bend your knees a little bit, if you can. Rub your hands in front of your belly, right in front of your belly button, and take deep breaths down to your Joshiam if you're a Tai Chiist. We're going to start a fire here. Okay, now separate your hands, but keep rubbing them. Now, right in front of your heart, make a ball and hold a ball in front of you. So still taking deep breaths. Hold this ball right in front of your heart. Now you feel it pressuring, like it's pushing out. It's pushing away from each other. It's like a ball of energy, right? That is a ball of energy. You're holding part of your spirit, if it's something you believe in. But you can also say it's energy. You also feel it increasing and gaining strength. What you've done is you just balance energies on both sides. So have you done smudge before? Just smudge yourself with it. Let go of all that crap we just talked about colonial construct. Let it go. It's not yours. Never was. Doesn't exist. Good. We're all on the same page now. So we can have a seat again. Could we open these? One's open.
Yeah, one, but nothing. I can figure out how to open it.
I think there's something on the bottom too. Bottom corner.
Did you breaking it?
Yes.
Thank you so much for sharing your life and perspective for us. I have a question. I'm wondering what you would feel about a group of non-Aboriginal people singing a song in solidarity against the pipelines going through your sovereign territory, but referring to the territory as our territory, for example, as a ours in a broad human sense.
Planet.
I'm wondering, planetary. I'm wondering what you would think about using the term our land in that context, in that we're not Aboriginal people, and
here you're not.
You're here.
Your origin is from another land, and you are connected to the earth closest there. It plays your origin. And somewhere in your history, you have connection to the earth. And because we're all on the earth right now, you have connection to your home regardless. All you have to do is declare it where you come from. I declared that when I first came here and spoke to you all. I am Gaksan. I am Wet'suwet'en. So for me, I fulfilled my destiny of who I am. I was chosen to be who I am. Same as you, who you are. And the colonial construct cannot define who you are. So history brought you here. But you have an origin. And you are indigenous to another land. And we're all a family. We're all related. So when you're speaking of our land, you can also picture where you originated from. We're from this earth. Our term for ourselves, if we ever identified, was Yinkatni. What that means is people of this earth. So we could feel and touch the earth that we're from. We're people of this earth that distinguished where we're from. So we're distinct. You also come from a distinct background. It is not indigenous to these lands, but you are indigenous to a land. So if you speak in the song, our land, think of home. And think of how that relates to our home. We need your lands to be healthy. We can't be a nation of Turtle Island being the only healthy spot on the earth. We need your lands, your biodiversity, to also gain strength again, once again. And because we're all connected, we're all related. all my relations in our prayers means exactly that. So if we know that you're not speaking of the territories that we're intimately related to, but you're speaking of your point of origin in the earth, that means a lot to us, because then it says you're declaring who you are. You're getting a sense of where you're from and your connection to the earth. It's history brought people here, so it's unfortunate that many people that might not feel that connection to their own origin. But all you have to do is declare where you're from. If you know your cultural background to some degree, or even if people can help learn that, there's a deep history there. There's still got to be some documents and stories about tribal knowledge and wisdoms in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, and in everywhere else. So traditional knowledge comes from all backgrounds, and what we're doing here is we're talking about settler and indigenous people relations. So if we know and feel, you're not talking about our lands, because we're defending our lands. So it doesn't mean that we're defending them from allies, it means that we're defending them from even from ideologies. A lot of our elders might not choose anarchy communities as their first choice to come to our territories, but as the younger generation felt that way, that the anarchy communities must come and experience what we got going on, and we must also get an experience of what anarchy has going on. So I don't know if that answers it. I don't have any answers. I just have some hints, what works for me. If some of it might work for you, I feel like if I was in Europe and I said from there, while standing on the earth, I am Gaksan and Wet'suwet'en, the earth will speak through me. The earth will still speak through me, and I am connected to that land regardless. So it's a very powerful thing. And that leads me to this next point of free prior informed consent protocol. At the bridge across the river from where we're defending these lands, there's a territory that is not ours. It's called the Unist'ot'en territory. Now, Unist'ot'en is a different clan. Where I was standing when I was conducting this protocol along with my sisters, the Gidimden clan, the bear clan, we were on the Gidimden side of the river. And we were conducting the Gidimden part of the relationship with the Unist'ot'en. The Unist'ot'en are the original Wet'suwet'en. And I don't want to claim to be Unist'ot'en. I'm supportive of the Unist'ot'en. I'm connected to another territory. But I see myself as a warrior, and a warrior for hire by every means. A warrior for hire that is working for a clan. I'm even working for the Gidimden, is the way I feel about it. Because I'm not even Gidimden. I'm Lah Gibu from Giksan. But I am considered related to the Gidimden clan. But I'm not even standing on my traditional territory on that side of the river. But I was introducing this process, this protocol. The protocol was, there's a list of questions. We stopped them right at the boundary line at the river. And we stopped them and spoke to every person, who are you? What is your purpose here? And we also asked, what skills do you have? And how will that benefit our people? And we also spoke and asked very firmly, do you belong to an industry, company, or a government that is threatening our territories? And how we introduced this process to every person that came was that they were not only speaking to physical, alive people today on the bridge, that they were also speaking to ancestors yet to come and ancestors of past in our territory. They're also speaking to the land. And so when everybody was finished this process, we spoke to each person and told them, except for the bus. The bus, it was... I don't think we could tell everybody on the bus what was going down. But for the smaller groups that came as smaller delegations, it was a little easier. And we spoke to them and told them, what you have just done is you transcended rights. What you have done is you've taken responsibility for yourself, for each other, and you've spoken to the chiefs about how you plan to share your responsibilities with them. That is what they were accepting. That is how it is your land, through a shared responsibility. but that shared responsibility needs to come first. So if anarchy communities can get with that, asking a people permission to exist on a territory, very out of character, I could imagine. But if it's the first step in building a relationship with traditional societies, it's something that we're encouraging traditional societies around us to do as well. We cannot be one healthy unit within Turtle Island, just the same way we can't have Turtle Island as the only healthy land throughout the world. So in solidarity with all peoples, this system can actually become very, very powerful. Could you imagine in your tribal origins still operating in this manner, where you would expect people to live by your law while on your territory? And you would have that power to say, you have a responsibility to abide by our traditional laws while on our lands. Because your traditional laws of your knowledge of your land was specific to that land. It wasn't a hierarchical system trying to be better than everybody else and overpower. It was a power with relationship. Power with relationship of shared responsibilities and acknowledgement of history. So the historical knowledge of those peoples still alive today supersedes and precedes colonial construct that claims to have more knowledge of our own lands than we do. So they don't have intimate knowledge of the salmon. They're overfishing in deep sea. They're creating bycatch of an enormous amount and an incredibly degrading anti-quality. So our intimate knowledge of the salmon was based on sustainable and 100% selective fishing. So the intimacy of our people's knowledge here is not the same as your intimate knowledge of your history from where you're at. But if you could picture Germanic tribe after Germanic tribe operating in the same manner as us, very similar. You did not step on out of your borders. They existed through oral history as well. Book knowledge and colonization came along at the same time. So it was hierarchical constructs saying that this is a better way, and monetary systems are a better way. So that's a very strong question. Thank you for that. I hope I answered it to the best of my ability. There's got to be more answers out there too, especially from elders and from others. So that process, it's written into the so-called United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples that I don't believe in. But because it's written into something like that, we did call it so it would be recognizable to the constructs. Because our relation, even though we don't acknowledge colonial construct law, it still exists in their minds, and they feel they need to relate to us as well. And so we called this protocol the Free, Prior, and Informed Consent Protocol. What free, prior, and informed consent means is it shouldn't cost us anything, and we also should not be under duress, free. We should not have a gunship pointed at our village. We should not have threats of our children being taken away any further than they already are. We should not have death threats at us. So that's free, prior. Right from the idea stage, let's say Amber wants to run the diversity of tactics in her territory, but she asks first. She has the idea to do it. And I'll say, when our people are being persecuted by the military or police, yes, please run the diversity of tactics. But prior, the idea first. Informed. What exactly is that? You want a mine in our territories, a strip mine? What's that? How much volumes? How much volumes of minerals are you after? Who's subscribing to those mineral volumes that you want to extract from the lands? At what pace and scale? Oh, the military is subscribing to that much volumes. No, thank you. You cannot mine our territory. Oh, oil and gas expansion subscribing to that minerals? No, thank you. There's enough oil and gas expansion. Cities want to expand? Holy smokes, you want that much minerals for cities? No thanks, there's too many big cities. We need to degrow as an economy degrow as a society, stop civilization from expanding. Sprawl is what's causing this gluttony all over the earth. So War Machine is bringing gluttony to a community that is actually experiencing a Great Depression. We're in a Great Depression here, but we're not experiencing it the same way as the last one that we heard of in history, because gluttony is being fed to the people for comfort from all over the world. And all over the world, they're in revolution, except here. We are, but it's like kind of baby steps still, feels like. We're no longer those toddlers. We're some pretty big, tough people here. I think we can handle this. It's an enormous step to take. Revolutions don't have to be this big, violent system. People can voluntarily walk out of these civilization centers and learn to exist with the planet around them, learn to have a relationship with the earth around us. And the Free Prior Informed Consent Protocol really changed the game for us, because we could have blockaded. We could have blockaded and just let in campers only. But we let tourists through, we let other industrialists through. But a logging company came and agreed to be a part of this process. They agreed to step into this protocol. And this logging company said, yes, we'll participate in this protocol. And when we learned from them, free, prior, informed consent, we were not under duress. It didn't cost us anything. But it wasn't prior. They already had polygons from the Colonial Construct Ministry of Forests telling them, this is what you're going to log for your money. These polygons are drawn by people that have no knowledge of the territory. And they're drawing them just willy-nilly. And that's a timber license. And the logging company gets paid after logging that timber license. So what you have happening is this logging company did not know that they were logging the right-of-way for pipelines. And the loggers at a blockade and the history of our people would have been adversarial. They would have sent their friends or family in to agitate. Police would have been there to agitate. A blockade in history is not always the most favorable system. Free Prior Informed Consent Protocol altered that. These loggers felt respected. They felt educated by us. They felt like there was a communication and that there was a system that they could now go through to prevent blockades, to prevent the stoppage of their livelihood. I still don't agree with clear cutting. That's what they were doing. They were finishing it up. But they are now having an opening discussion with the chiefs about the chief's knowledge of territory use and how it relates to pipeline use. So we told these loggers, if you're against pipelines, which they all were, even their management was against pipelines, they all said they want to be educated better with their maps, how they relate to right-of-way logging. Because we told them pipeline construction starts with logging. So this is our opportunity to learn together. You can educate us what you're being fed. We can educate you of what you're being fed here. And that was a really strong move. Blockade would not have opened that discussion. Blockade would have made them angry. They wouldn't have wanted to learn about anything. They wouldn't even wanted to learn if we were there for a good purpose like that. All they would have said was, that's a blockade. I'm being denied access to my livelihood.